Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been considering some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. And I want to emphasize this truth again, that many times we fail to realize how much we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we Christians are afraid of this. Either there's been some false teaching that we've come across, and this teaching has caused us to draw back from the ministry of the Holy Spirit because we're afraid that we might be identified with a false teaching, or else we simply are trying to live our lives in our own ways. We're trying to live our lives in our own strength, believing somehow that we must strive on for God. I love this phrase that people use, I'm walking on, I'm striving on for God. Sometimes this indicates in their lives that they're living in their own strength. We don't live in our own strength. We live by the strength of the Holy Spirit. So over a period of time, we've been considering the ministries of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's a rather long series of messages. Some of you have been following them from the very beginning. In the first part of this series of messages, we discussed a number of the passages dealing with the subject of the Holy Spirit. I was trying to acquaint you with these passages, how many times he's mentioned in the Gospels and in the Epistles, and I was trying to acquaint you with some of the various ways that we could depend upon him in our lives as Christians, how he indwells our lives, how he helps our lives, how he encourages us, and so forth. Now, my purpose in that first part of the study was not to deal with any of them extensively, but simply to touch upon all of these various ministries. However, in this last part of the study, we've chosen, in fact, a number of different topics, in fact, four of them to be exact. We've chosen a number of different topics where we've tried to delve more deeply into the subject of how the Holy Spirit works in these four different areas. So we've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a special topic. And we took four of these. The first one had to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our individual walk for the Lord and in church life. We pointed out that many people misunderstand the gifts of the Spirit. They have no real idea of what the gifts are to be or how they're to be used or anything. And they also have noted that some of these gifts have been falsely taught and falsely used in our day. You see it on television, you hear it over the radio, and some of these gifts have been falsely used and taught. And so some Christians have simply never used the gifts that God has given them. Now the purpose of the gifts is practical, to draw us to the place where we will use our gifts for the glory of God, for the edification of the body of believers, and for reaching out to other people. Now the second study we did was in the area of evangelism. We pointed out my place as an evangelist, your place as an evangelist, reaching out to fellow high school students, to fellow workmates, to neighbors, to family and friends, and so forth. And then also how the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, works in the lives of those to whom we're witnessing. In other words, He works in my life, first of all, to prepare me as a human instrument, and then He also works in the lives of those to whom I'm witnessing. The third ministry had to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our study, understanding, and application of the Word of God. How the Holy Spirit takes the inspired Word, which is now complete. There will never again be any new revelations. I've emphasized this in almost every message. There will never again be new revelations. However, the Holy Spirit will take the revealed Word in the Old and the New Testament and illuminate it for us. In other words, He will enlighten our hearts so that we understand it. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we would be like the unsaved man who tries to read the Word of God and yet does not really have spiritual wisdom. But by the Holy Spirit, we have spiritual wisdom. And so we've talked about these three ministries. Now the last ministry, and we've been discussing this in several messages, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual growth and in our faithful walk before the Lord and with the Lord. I pointed out, first of all, that the focus of our growth and of our lives as Christians is the Lord Jesus Himself. We took this from 2 Peter, of course. The focus of our lives is the Lord Jesus himself. And then in our lives, the Holy Spirit, in allowing us and permitting us and directing us to follow the Lord Jesus with all our hearts, the Holy Spirit will produce a number of different things in our lives to bring about this growth. We considered a number of these. I want to consider today the last of these. And this has to do with producing in us genuine Christian love for each other. We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Love never fails. Now, I want to talk about this in this message with you. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, after the Lord Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples, you remember the situation there. They had come into the table of the Lord, into the room where the table of the Lord was to be celebrated, and they were arguing among themselves who was the greatest among them. In other words, they had an arrogant spirit. They had this proud, arrogant spirit. Even though they were graduating from the Bible school of the Lord Jesus, they were not really very spiritual men. And then you remember in John chapter 13, the Lord Jesus kneels down before them, and he washes their feet. To their great shame, to their utter humiliation, the Lord Jesus now kneels before them and washes the feet of each one of them. Peter tried to cast him aside. No, Lord, don't do this to me. But Jesus said, no, permit me to do it. I'm going to do it. He was trying to teach them something. He was trying to teach them selflessness and love for each other. Apparently they lacked this selflessness and love for each other. They had no spirit of servanthood in their relationship with each other. So the Lord Jesus is having to deal with them very, very strictly. Now we notice in this passage that the Lord Jesus uses his own example before them. In other words, that they are to love one another even as he has loved them and has sacrificed for them. Now, I want to emphasize this passage for a moment with you, because this passage is teaching us some very, very important truth. And the truth of this passage is this, and that is that in our lives with each other, there is to be, whether it's in the body of believers, or whether it's in family life or whatever it is, there is to be a spirit of self-sacrifice where we ourselves are giving up our own rights, our own privileges in order to serve other people. We're giving up our own feelings, our own desires in life. From a natural human standpoint, we would be selfish in our Christian lives. But when the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, when we belong to the Lord Jesus, and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, we now are going to reach out with a selfless spirit. That is, if we are the kind of people God wants us to be. And so in this passage, the Lord Jesus is teaching them what he expects of them as his followers. It was not enough they be trained in Bible school, but rather they were to be his true followers, and with all their hearts they were to follow him. Now in 1 Corinthians 13, the passage we've just read, he's talking here about the quality of the love. Not just that the love of the Lord Jesus is to be present in our lives, but what is the quality of this love? And how does it express itself? Many of you have memorized this passage of Scripture. But basically, this passage is teaching that I just read It is teaching that this love is to be sacrificial, is to be selfless, is to be without any personal gain as we reach out to others. In other words, we are to have this genuine love in our hearts. You see this again in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, where we're to have concern for the affairs of others and the lives of others and the needs and wants of others rather than just what we experience in our own lives. Our natural tendency is to look to our own lives and meet our needs first. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we're to follow the example of the Lord Jesus. In fact, in verse 5 he says, "Have this mind in you, or among yourselves, which you find also in Christ Jesus," how he gave up heaven itself in order to come down to this earth and die on the cross for our sins, to live for those 33 years, and then to sacrifice himself as an offering for our sins. And therefore, we're to have this same spirit of love for each other. So we cannot begin to compare with the love of the Lord Jesus for us. But nevertheless, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we too can follow the example of the Lord Jesus, not duplicating his work. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You and I can never save anyone from sin. Our sacrifice would mean nothing. But in our lives, we are manifesting Christ in our lives by the love we have for other people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, it is emphasized that this love for other people is not just for other Christians, but is to extend to all people. This phrase, all people, is emphasized in that verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. Now this means that we're to have a love for the unsaved as well as Christians. We're to have a love for them. Now there's a difference between pitying someone, having pity for them, and loving them. And there are sometimes we pity someone we see on the streets. Love is when we reach out to this person. Pity is when we pity a neighbor going through some great difficulty. Love is when we reach out to that neighbor and we do something for that neighbor to help him through the difficulty. So this is, of course, a means of bringing others to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. This would be our objective and goal. But in life, we're reaching out to people whether or not they trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. In other words, it is important that other people see Jesus in us. They see Jesus manifested in our lives. So we're reaching out to people. We're really trying to help them in their lives. And we're showing them that Jesus lives in our lives and we're manifesting him in our lives. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, we notice that love for others is taught as a proof that we are really saved. I think in some series of messages I have pointed this truth out, that the book of James, the book of 1 John, and these books of what we call the general epistles are not teaching so much how to be saved, but they are teaching us the proof of our salvation. In other words, there's no contradiction between 1 John, for instance, and Ephesians chapter 2, where the means of salvation is emphasized. 1 John is simply teaching how can we show that we are saved? How can we prove that we are saved? A person will say that he is saved, but he doesn't demonstrate it in his life. So in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, love for other people is one of the proofs of our salvation. Also, if we love the world, the love of the Father may not be in us. The love of the Father, in fact, he says, is not in you. If your heart is devoted to the world and the flesh and the devil, then you never were really saved. Now, I don't want to go into this subject anymore because we've talked about this in previous series of messages, but I want to simply emphasize to you that love is very, very important. So I want to close this message for now, and I want to leave these truths with you. And it's my prayer that in our lives we will have genuine love as we live in this world. I read this passage of Scripture to you, and it's a model for our lives. It first of all comes through saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, of course, and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. He produces genuine spiritual love in us. And it's my prayer that each of us will manifest this love. And may the Lord bless you, each one.